You very much, Dave, and good morning, everyone. My goodness, it's cooking in this place this morning, man. Welcome to you all, and I hope you've had a great start to the new year. We were down in Cape Town enjoying the Newlands Test match, a good Proteas win over the Sri Lankans, and we've just come back feeling totally rested and batteries recharged and ready for a fantastic, blessed, wonderful 2017. Folk, just to give you some information, it's hot this morning, and we're going to help you in the coming weeks by breaking through the back wall there. So probably over the next couple of weeks, you'll see a bit of action happening at the back. It'll be open up there where that back row is, the people are seated at the back there. A lovely entrance to help us with airflow and also to help us with an exit if we need to evacuate for an emergency. But just a much better operational flow. So bear with us if there's a bit of disruption over the next couple of weeks. It'll all be worth it in the end. And just as Deet said, I really want to encourage you, especially if you're fairly new to the church, to consider joining up for the Alpha course. It's going to be the most amazing 8 weeks together, meeting new friends, learning about Jesus, asking questions you might have. Just a great way to start the year, so don't forget to sign up for that one. Right, if you've got your Bibles with you, which I hope you have, let's turn to the book of Hebrews. The new guys to our church who are still learning the Bible kind of liked this book because they thought it fitted in with Gnubi pretty well. They thought it was Hey Brew. They're like, turn to Hey Brew. And it's actually Hebrews, not Hey Brew, just for your information. Brian, that's especially for you. You asked that question. Don't look around. He's the guy that's turning red. Right, Hebrews chapter 12. I've called the sermon Running the Race of Faith, and it's just a way to kickstart the year to get you encouraged and motivated for what lies ahead in 2017. So here we go. Chapter 12, and just two verses to read. Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, your Bible might use the word entangles us, and let us run with endurance or perseverance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising its shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Father, thank you for your precious word. We believe your word is inspired by the Holy Spirit. It's got life, it's got power. And Lord, for these next 20 minutes or so, give us concentration, give us open hearts, open minds, ready to receive, but more importantly, Lord, ready to respond to what you would have us hear today. We pray these things in Jesus' great and powerful name. Amen. Well, whenever you see the word therefore in the Bible, you need to ask yourself the question, what's it? Therefore. And this text starts with the word therefore, and to understand chapter 12, you need to backtrack a little bit to chapter 11, which is known around the world as the chapter of faith. Hebrews chapter 11 is the chapter of faith. And in that chapter, you find all the heroes of the Bible. You'll recognize the names of famous people like Abraham, people like Noah, people like Moses, Joshua. The list goes on. Famous people whose lives and, more importantly, whose faith impacted history and changed the world. But what I like about chapter 11 is, snuck in between all the famous names, you find just another word which says others. No names, anonymous people, nameless people, others, who gave of their lives and gave of so much for the cause of Jesus Christ. They're not famous people, they're just normal people like you and I. Others who have left for us in 2017 a heritage of Christian living and of loving and serving Jesus. And folk, I think, what better way to start off the year than by thanking God for a Christian heritage. Thanking God for those who've come before us. Thanking God for those who built this beautiful church in Gnubi. Thanking God for parents, for grandparents who've come before us, who loved and served Jesus Christ and gave us a foundation upon which to build our lives of faith. And just for the moms and dads and the grandparents here this morning, I want to say to you, the greatest inheritance you can ever leave your children or your grandchildren is not a big bank balance, but a life dedicated to following and worshiping Jesus. There's no greater legacy you can leave for your family than that. But the point the writer is making is that men and women of faith have come before us. Most of them are just ordinary people, and they've run their race well. They've gone ahead of us, and now they're cheering us on, as it were, to run our race as well. On Friday afternoon, we did the memorial service for Jazz Wilson, and I see Ian here this morning. You know, we think back to December 2016. We had the Thanksgiving dinner behind me in the hall, and Jasmine was there with Ian and with her friends from the church. Jasmine was a young lady. I think 6 weeks ago, Jasmine could never have imagined that her race would come to an end just a couple of days ago. And folk, the point of the matter is that none of us have got a guarantee as to how long our race will be. It might be a long race, it might be a shorter race, but the key is to maximize the life God's given you. Not to wish it away or waste it away chasing the wind or living for things that have no eternal significance, but to make every single day count for things that carry eternal value. And I always say the key is to run your own race well and not somebody else's race. I can't run your race for you. I can advise you, I can encourage you, but only you can run your race. Run your race well and allow me to run my race well. Each of us has a God-given calling. Each of us has a heavenly assignment. And folk, the success or failure of your life will be determined by one thing and one thing alone. Did you discover the reason for which God put you on the planet? Did you find out why He made you? Why He gave you the chance to live? And did you fulfill the purpose of God? Did you complete the heavenly assignment? That will be the measure of success for your life. Lord, I found out why You made me. I fulfilled that purpose. I've got nothing left to do. I'm ready to meet Jesus. My goal, for those of you who know me well, you know, my goal is to die empty. I want my life to be poured out, like Paul says, as a drink offering. By the time my end comes, there must be nothing left to give, nothing left to do. I'm empty. I've given it all. I'm ready to meet Jesus. At the end of Jesus' life, He said these words. He said, Father, I've glorified You on the earth. I've finished the race. I've finished the work You've given me to do. Success. What about Paul? End of his life. Paul says, I fought the good fight. I've finished the race. I've kept the faith. Success. Well, in these verses, the writer gives us some keys, as it were, to living a successful life and to running our race well. And I want to share just four of them with you this morning in the hope that you'll apply them to your race, to your life over the course of this new year. The first tip he gives us is he suggests we run light. He says, let us lay aside every weight. Let us run our races as lightly as possible. Now, I've done a couple of marathons over the last few years. In fact, my dad was an amazing runner. My sisters are good runners as well. And one thing I've learned over the years when it comes to running is you don't want anything to weigh you down. You want to run as light as possible, and so your shoes and your attire is all geared to helping athletes run light. And the writer here says, as you run the Christian race, as you fulfill the purpose of God for your life, the idea is to run light, not to have things weighing you down. And maybe you've thought about it, I know I have over the course of December and going into January. Have you identified some of the things that weighed you down last year? What were some of the things that prevented you from really running a race properly? What weighed you down and prevented you from being the man, the woman that you wanted to be at the beginning of the year? Have you identified what those weights were in your life? Maybe for some of you, you were prisoners in a sense of your past. Something happened, you never got over it, you can't let it go. And you're kind of trapped in that negative space. You're living in the past. And folk, I want to say to you as we launch this new year, you cannot change what happened yesterday. For better or for worse, it is over. But by God's grace, you can choose to make today better than yesterday. You can choose to make this year better than last year by leaving the past where it belongs, in the past. And I always say, don't be a prisoner of your past. Be a pioneer of your future. Look at the advice Paul gives us in Philippians chapter 2. He says, forgetting those things which are behind, leave them in the past, and reaching forward to those things which are ahead. Don't be a prisoner of your past, be a pioneer of your future. A second area that you may need to address this year is you need to be more focused as a Christian. There are so many good things, listen to this, folk, that you could potentially be involved in as a Christian. And we spoke about this around the fire last night at our bra. There are so many good things you could potentially do, but not every good thing is a God thing. Let that sink in for a second. In a church context, in a life context, there are multiple good things you could potentially be involved in. You could serve here, serve there, do this, do that. But what are the things that God is calling you specifically to do? Do those. Not every good thing is a God thing. To fulfill your calling and to run your race well in 2017 may well mean saying no to some very good things. Now, what we did as a family was we got together a couple of weeks ago as we launched the year, and we spent about 3 or 4 hours as a family evaluating 2016. What were some of the weights that weighed us down last year? What were some of the things that prevented us in our marriage, in our family, in our ministry from really moving forward? And we identified them. And then we filled up about 5 pages of planning how to make this year better than last. In other words, friends, the Morels, and hopefully it applies to you, are living their lives on purpose. We're being proactive in the way we live our lives. We're being intentional about making this year better than last year. What about you? In life, you find 3 different groups of people. You find those people who make things happen. They live their lives on purpose. You find those people who watch things happen. And you find those who scratch their heads and say, "What happened?" Now, which group do you fall into? Are you going to make things happen, make your marriage better, make your family better, make your walk with Jesus better because you're living your life on purpose? Are you going to watch other people do it and say, "Oh, I wish that could be me"? Or are you going to get to the end of another year and scratch your head and say, "Oh my goodness, what happened? I wasted another 12 months of my life." Remember, if you want to receive a different set of results this year, you need to change the formula. You can't keep doing the same things you did in 2016 and repeat those things this year and expect a different result. 2 plus 2 will always equal 4. You can fiddle those numbers around. You can change them around. That equation is consistent. 2 plus 2 will always equal 4. If you want to see change in your life, change in your marriage, change in the way you do your business, change in the way you walk with Jesus, something's got to change. And more than likely, that something is you. I love this saying. It goes like this: if you always do what you've always done, you will always get what you've always got. Is it up there? Ah, it is. If you always do what you've always done, you'll always get what you've always got. Folks, something needs to change this year. The equation needs to change. Otherwise, you'll sit at the end of the year with exactly the same set of results you got in 2016. So what's going to change? Have you identified those weights that are weighing you down? Run light. Number 2, the second tip he gives us is to run free. Look what he says. He says, lay aside the sin that so easily ensnares or entangles us. I love the word entangle because as a fisherman, I think of a fish entangled in a net. A fish entangled in a net is not free. It's wriggling around. It wants to swim. It wants to live, but it can't. It's trapped in something called a net. And for some of you, that was 2016. You couldn't run the race of faith that Paul describes because you were entangled in a web of sin. And like that fish couldn't escape from the net, you were trapped, as it were, in this place of unforgiveness, this place of lust, this place of whatever sin it was for you. And it just weighed you down. It entangled you, and you couldn't run the race God had for you last year. Run free. What happens to that fish if it remains in the net for long enough? Does it live? It dies. And that's the tragedy of sin, friends. Sin always leads to death. Sin promises freedom, but it produces bondage. Sin promises you life, but it produces death. And I want to encourage you this year, don't just run light, getting off the weight, but also run free. There's nothing better than putting your head on your pillow at night, knowing there's nothing between you and Jesus. There's nothing. There's no obstacle. There's no barrier. You've just got this connection to God with nothing in between. Run light. Run free. And the third tip the writer gives us as we run the Christian race is to run perseveringly. And I think that's important because we all know the Christian life is not a 100-meter dash that's over in 10 seconds. But the Christian life, I think, can be compared to the comrades' marathon. It's something that really lasts the course of a lifetime. And along the way, we all know with the comrades, there's hills, there's poly shorts, there's times when the going gets tough, there's times you want to give up. But it's during those times, and maybe especially during those times, that you need to persevere as an athlete. Interesting, the Greek word, I didn't know this, I discovered it this week as I prepared for this message. The Greek word for race that this writer uses is the word agonis. I didn't know that. Race in Greek in the original language is that word, and I'm sure you can ascertain which words we get from agonis. We get agony. We get struggle. And so what the writer is saying is, if you think the Christian race, the Christian life, is going to be pain-free and easy, you're mistaken. He uses this word on purpose. The Christian life is going to be a life of struggle, a life of effort, a life where perseverance is absolutely critical, because along the way, there will be things that will rattle your life. I mean, Ian could never have predicted he'd be sitting without his wife beside him this morning. There's an empty chair, look at it, right next to Ian. His wife should be in that chair, but she's not. Something rattled their family, rattled their life. And some of you have been through those kind of things over the last year or couple of years. So what keeps you going through those hard times? What stops you from giving up and throwing in the towel? Perseverance. Perseverance. You just keep on keeping on. You never give up. Tim Keller, who's one of my go-to theologians, one of my heroes, said this: there's never been a generation with a lower pain threshold than us. In the history of the world. You know what that means? We want it easy. And we think it's going to be easy. But folk, I want to tell you, and we've got folk in our church here who are in their 70s, in their 80s, they've been running this race for a lot longer than us. And they can tell you, over the course of 70, 80 years of living, it hasn't always been easy. There are people in this building who've lost children. They've buried their kids. There's people in this building who've lost their wives, their husbands, lost their jobs, been retrenched, been diagnosed with cancer, been through chemo. But yeah, they are today. They haven't given up. You'll see them in worship. They're still worshiping Jesus. What's kept them going for 70, 80 years? Perseverance. And they will hear the words one day when they shake the hand of Jesus Christ and look him in the eye, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You didn't give up. You persevered through the ups and downs of life." I would encourage you practically this year, persevere in coming to church. Make coming to church a habit. Make it something you do diligently and perseveringly. You know why I say that? Because the Bible says Jesus, who's our hero, who's our Lord, our King. The Bible says Jesus went to the synagogue as was his custom. That means Jesus didn't wake up on a Saturday morning, it was a Sabbath in those days, and say, well, it looks like the fishing should be good today. Let me go and wet a line in the Sea of Galilee. Or let me go and read the Sunday Times. Or let me go and do something else. Jesus went to the synagogue as was his custom. And I say, if going to church was good enough for the Son of God, surely it's good enough for me. Make coming to church a priority in your life. I'm quite proud of myself, you'll see why, because I actually made up a motto. And I hope you'll like it. I didn't Google it. I made it up. These are my words. Neil Mack, maybe you can make a poster of this one. No, it's English. This one's English. This is my motto for some of you this year. And you might like it when I say it. I'm proud of it. It says, just show up and you'll grow up. Oh, it wasn't as good as I thought. But anyway, I thought it was quite good when I made it up. Maybe I must put some more work into that one, but I wrote it in capital letters, just show up and you'll grow up. You see, some of you didn't grow up enough last year. Why? Because you didn't show up enough. Some of you grew sporadically last year because you showed up sporadically. I guarantee you, folk, I'm willing to bet my bottom dollar. No, actually, no, not for a church context. I'm willing to guarantee you that if you just show up to church, show up to Bible study, show up to Alpha, just show up. This year is going to be a year of growth like you've never experienced before. I'm willing to guarantee you that. Show up and you'll grow up. You can put it on your fridge. And then just to wrap it up with one final thought, but maybe out of all of them, it's probably the most important. The writer encourages us to run this race with focus. Look what he says. He says, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. That's really good advice because we know that in the world of 2017, there are so many things competing for our attention. So many things just waiting to sidetrack you from God's best for your life. So many roads of compromise you could potentially walk down. And so the writer says, as you run this race with your focus fixed, glued on Jesus, the author, the finisher of your faith. Don't be sidetracked. Don't be a wanderer. Let nothing drag you away from God's best for your life. And there's two ladies, I think, that really can teach us something this morning. Their names are Mary and Martha. They were two sisters. Now, the word the Bible uses for Martha was she was distracted. Jesus arrived at their home. Imagine Jesus came to your house. What a privilege. He arrives for tea. He arrives for lunch. And the Bible uses this word on purpose. It says Martha was distracted. She couldn't focus on Jesus. There were other things that were taking up her time and distracting her. Mary, the sister, did something different. She went and found Jesus. And the Bible says she sat at his feet and listened to his word. Are you going to be a Mary or a Martha this year? Are you going to spend another year sidetracked? Kind of in the presence of Jesus, he's there somewhere, he's in the house, but you're distracted. You're not focused. The other things consuming your time and dragging you away. Or are you going to be like Mary, who day after day sits at the feet of Jesus and says, Lord, teach me, I'm listening to your word. The greatest investment that you will make in 2017 is time invested at the feet of Jesus. The greatest investment you will make in 2017 is time invested listening and worshiping in the presence of God. In that place, he will meet you. In that place, he will fill you. In that place, he will give you every resource you need to run your race well. Because the Bible says he's the vine, he's the giver of life. We are simply the branches. Without that connection, our tanks will be empty. Keep your eyes fixed, focused, riveted on Jesus as you run your race this year. I want us to close our eyes, and just as you close them, give you a few thoughts to pray through as we wrap up the service this morning. I want you to use this time. I know it's warm and it's uncomfortable, but I want you just to spend a few moments thinking and responding to these four thoughts this morning. Number one, are you running light? Or are there things that in a sense are weighing you down? And they're probably the same things that weighed you down in 2016. Maybe now is a good time to say, Lord, I want to release those weights. I want to release those burdens to you. I don't want them to weigh me down for another year. I want to run this year light. Just take some time to identify what those weights might be in your life. And to say, Lord, this morning, I choose to lay them down. Second thought to maybe pray through is, are you running free? Is there an area of your life or an action or an attitude, a bad habit, that's slowing you down? It's tangling you up. Like that fish, you just can't break free from this net of sin. Well, maybe this morning just bring that area before the Lord and say, Lord, I'm sorry, I repent, I acknowledge it. And by your blood, won't you set me free, please, from whatever that area might be in your life. We serve a God who's amazingly gracious and kind. There's nothing you can't forgive. So why don't you bring the area before him this morning? Let him free you, let him cleanse you, let him forgive you, and then you can run your race free from sin this year. Maybe for some of us, God's challenged us in a third area, and that is the area of perseverance. Maybe last year you didn't persevere enough. Maybe you didn't show up enough to the right things, and so you didn't grow up the way you should. And this morning you've just felt the Holy Spirit saying, whether I feel like it or whether I don't, I'm going to show up in the presence of God. I'm going to show up with God's people. And the more I show up, the more I'm going to grow up, and I'm going to persevere this year. When those obstacles come, those days of difficulty, discouragement, I'm not going to run away. I'm going to persevere. Make it a year of endurance and perseverance. Maybe that's a great challenge for somebody this morning. And the final challenge is for all of us. Are your eyes fixed on Jesus? You're not going to allow 2017 to be another year of distraction. But this is the year that you are going to, in your marriage, in your family, as you raise your children, as you do your business, as you play your sport, you're going to live this year with your eyes fixed on Jesus Christ. Nothing's going to sidetrack you. Nothing's going to lead you down a road of compromise. Your eyes are fixed on Jesus, your solid rock, your firm foundation. I love the words of that old song that we used to sing. On Christ, the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. And so, Lord Jesus, we choose as we launch this new year, as we launch our races of faith, to say we're going to build this year on the solid rock of Christ Jesus. On Christ, the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. Father, give us the grace, the strength, the courage, the passion, the motivation to live this year and to run our race to the glory of God. Thank you, Father. I know we can do it because in Christ we can do all things through Him who gives us strength. Thank you, Father. And now, dear friends, as you go your separate ways and as you prepare to run your races, may the Lord God bless you and keep you. May the Lord cause His face to shine upon you. May the Lord be gracious to you and turn His countenance towards you and fill you today, but every day of 2017, with His wonderful and perfect peace as you run your race to the glory of God. Amen. Amen.